welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports business. I just want to start out today by saying this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. Even with the blow this week, we must wake up every morning and say thank you and be glad that we're in the number. I have to be very honest with you. The Chad Bozeman passing of the superhero Black Panther and the just phenomenal actor took a blow. I mean, I was mesmerized. And then I watched over the weekend the Five Bloods, Spike Lee's newest movie that has Chad in it, and it was really good. I think it's one of the best movies he's had. Let me be clear, Spike hadn't sent me any money to push the movie, but hey, I think it was really good. I could not predict what was going to happen. I know Chad is a HBCU grad, and that's another one, and he's inspirational. The part that really got me, and the reason why I really bring it up, is that he did all of this great work in pain. And what we usually say in athletics, he left it all on the floor, left no regrets. And so that really is an inspiration to me. That's inspiration to me. And so I'm pressing forth. And then the second blow, well, I think it had more of an emotional toll, because he really was our hero as it relates to athletics, is Big John Thompson, Coach Joe John Thompson of Georgetown. He really was an example of how you win and still care about your athletes. Now, he did it old school. He'd probably be in a lot of trouble. In today's world, as it relates to caring and like I would say, give a kick in the butt and give a hug at the same time. But, you know, hey, in our culture, that has been what has gotten the best results, to be very honest with you. There's something to be said. This is kind of, the younger folks may not get this. But when you get into somebody's behind, to some cultures, some age group, that means that you care. But in this generation, you got to understand the kid and talk to him first. And then if you happen to do that, they get it. It takes a lot of work, and this is why this is such a great podcast today, because we can talk to somebody who this is what they do for a living. But John Thompson, for me, it took me back to my father, because I remember my father watching John Thompson. I thought Georgetown was HBCU. I was still a Ralph Sampson girl, but, you know, this is what you need to remember, too, is that our first heroes are brought to us by who our parents think are icons. And so my father was a teacher for 40 years. I think he can relate. And what I always remember is his protest for his student-athlete. I forgot which prop it was, but it was an NCAA legislation that was going to have an immense effect on the Black student-athlete, Black male student-athlete, and he stood up to power. And I think that every time I would go to the NCAA convention, and I would, either I would or I would get one of my colleagues to go to the mic to speak against a bylaw, because our student-athlete said, no, that doesn't work for us. And to be honest with you, I think that battle is still going on as it relates to voluntary practice or workouts. And, hey, you know, It's interesting that I say that we're dealing with COVID-19 and kids want to play. Kids want to play. And but sometimes, just like anything else, we have to be the adults and guide the kids, depending upon the circumstances. So, again, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. And I got some good news for you. Jolene Robinson, who knows how to coach winners, okay? I saw it with her own two eyes. And she says her message to you today is, don't be afraid to take a few minutes out of your day to just hear and see what this is all about. And this is trading and investing with Jolene Robinson. Yes, the coach has gone to try to coach you and having an additional income stream. What do you have to lose? Many gain more than you think. We are out here sharing and helping so many people because they took the time to just check it out. Why don't you? Send a text or email or even call so I can set you up to hear all about it. Now, this is and no pressure at all. At least you can say you heard it. And it's been my intention to listen. My god niece was moving into Norfolk State last Friday, and I missed it. So there are different days to listen to the informational workshop. So I suggest to you to contact Jolene to find out when is the next one. You got two ways you can do it. You can email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. That's jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Or you can text her or call her at 980-298-2231. Let me try it again. 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231 to get hooked up to the next introductory workshop. And, again, having additional income is crucial in this time. And, again, these times are very unique. We have different columns of issues that are going on to get our attention. And another one that is pretty interesting, especially for people of color, is the social unrest. And what you may think of Esther, and maybe we are here for a time such as this, because organizations and corporations and voting bodies are looking at things differently. And so sometimes you need to bring in a different eyes and some different voices to say what it is that you have been feeling and dealing with for years. And so many ask you, what can we do? So you can bring in an outside facilitator. And one of those facilitators is Dr. Janae Executes. She says, with deep expertise in leadership, management, and policy issues, she helps organizational leaders identify and change underlying causes of racial tension and bias within their organization by providing a safe and structured environment for individuals and teams to have tough conversations about diversity, inclusion, and equity with the goal of greater understanding and overall organizational improvement. Contact Dr. Janae Speaks to assist your team at knockoutbias.com. Again, knockoutbias.com. That's knock, KNOCKOUTBIAS.com. And get her to your campus or your virtual meeting to assist you. And I have been immensing myself with Last Chance U. I've been missing football, so I just thought I would just, you know, watch Last Chance U. And I got my mother and my husband hooked on it. My husband's from a football player at Hampton, so he's just, you know, we're screaming at the TV as if we're at a Hampton football game. And this is just, it's tickling to me to some things. And most things are quite disturbing. But for me, to be honest, almost everything I do, I'm trying to figure out. Like my dad used to say, how can I use this to teach? How can I use this to teach? And, yeah, I can see a lot of areas that can be used to say what not to do. But one of the things, like again, like I said, I was trying to find things I can teach or use as a resource. That's a better use of words. And so another resource that I have been pushing has been Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. And I see so many young men on this show, the whole point is to make it to the league, make it to the league. And, you know, those young men on this TV show, which is community college young people who are given a second chance, many of them are Power Five athletes who have gotten into something that took them off their track. and they're doing this to me, it's bad choices. So if you make bad choices in that level, your antenna should go up about what choices you would make after you don't have a college coach who's trying to get you to a certain level. I don't believe, from what I have read, that you're going to have the same type of you know, they really believe you're a grown man and you should be able to do what is to do, let me get up and go to practice and eat right and things like that. And so I believe that when you give a person a book, they begin to have ownership of what they read versus you telling them what they need to do. So I said a book, but this particular resource is in three different formats. So you can go on Amazon and type in Surviving the Lights, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse, and you'll see three different formats, audiobook, paperback, and ebook. So I highly, highly recommend this book for you to enlighten what will be on the other side of your athlete's life after college if they go on the professional side. I said football, but this pertains to anybody. Football, basketball, track and field, all of that. They're going to need individuals to help them, and who they select has a lot to do with the success they will have financially. And we're not just talking about to negotiate contracts. We're talking about the home you get, how do you get credit, because somehow or another, when you're already starved, everybody wants to give you stuff, but then again, you don't have it in your name, and then when you're not no longer playing, you can't buy anything because you don't have any credit. So just things such as that. Get the book, Surviving the Lights, Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. Dr. Chico Caldwell, man, he is working hard for you all. I do want to thank everyone who would join us every Thursday at 11 o'clock for his webinars on success culture, building a success culture in athletics. Great turnout for those of you who attended, everyone. He's got something special he's sending out to you. But guess what? He has gotten his course certified for CEU credit. Now, that is fabulous. And, I learned a lot. I mean, a great, great deal from his webinars. And I want to say at least 80 to 90% of those attendees were members of the Garden. So I know that you have grown. If you attended at least two of them, I know you've grown in your thinking. His last sessions about system thinking has been phenomenal. And again, all of his workshops are based on research or books related. So coming soon, he will have these courses, and these will be on Zoom, and they will have a price. And so definitely I think you cannot go wrong in growing. That's why we're called Chat in the Garden, because this is where we're all going to grow. Women leaders in college sports. Congratulations to the Women of the Year, Corey Pickett, Stable Lee, Tiffany Daniels, Sherlyn Freeman, and Jocelyn Fisher Gates. We've had the pleasure of having Corey, Sable, Sherlyn, and Jocelyn be a guest on our podcast. And I anticipate Ms. Daniels to be on soon. I can't tell you when because I can't remember how far out, but hey, you know, if you want to listen to their voices and about their career path, I really suggest that you log on to 200plus.expert to get all our previous seasons to hear about those these winners and their pathways. Again, that's 200plus.expert to listen to past podcasts that highlight these wonderful individuals. And my last commercial for the day is my chapter that covers my athletic administrative beginnings. And honestly, you know, people say, you know, you need to write a whole book. And I was like, well, that would – I need to be able to write something to serve someone, to be honest, not just tell you all about who I knew and what I did and all that. You know, yes, being an AD at 28 years old was a big accomplishment, but there's some other things that go along with it. So being a first has its ups and its downs, and I want to assist others, things that they can look to avoid, and tools, the key thing, the tools to have. So you don't have to, and I can't say suffer, because I believe everything I've gone through has made me the person that I am. But you recognize when it happens to you that it's for your growth and not your stopping of growth. So if you would like to listen, would you like to hear or read my athletic story, go to publicfiguremass.com, publicfiguremass.com. I do have 8 books in stock, and my goal is to get rid of all of them. So please get this book and grow. So now it comes to the time of our guest of the hour. And, you know, Facebook is where we all together, and we congratulate each other and all that kind of good stuff. But LinkedIn, as you say, is my jam, because this is where I met our guest of today. And LinkedIn is where we linked up, and I'm always looking for like-minded individuals. And I invite them from LinkedIn over to the Facebook group in hopes that we can all grow together. And this person has been has been engaged on both LinkedIn and our Facebook group together. And it just hit me. I said, look, now is the time I must have her on. And we have a mutual friend, Emmett Gill, Dr. Emmett Gill. Emmett and I served on the Black Women Sports Foundation board together. And she and he, and I, that my first introduction to the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports came through Emmett. And then I saw a woman on there. I was like, oh, she's got to be a part of the garden, because we never know and we need to call on her. And so she is a licensed clinical social worker and a founding member of the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports, and president-elect, January 2021, she'll become the president of that association. And so we're going to talk about that and more. Welcome to the garden, Anita Daniels.
you so much for having me. I am excited to be here and to talk about not just the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports, but why getting involved with serving athletes is so important to me. And so becoming a founding member and continuing to expand my reach has been critical.
Well, let's back up just a slight bit. This is what we do for everybody. Tell us about your journey from college to your current position.
Oh, my goodness. Which college?
Hey,
I graduated from East. Yeah, I graduated from East Carolina University. While there, I was the resident advisor in the dormitory that housed the men's football team and the men's track team. So imagine that. I also worked in the cafeteria, and at that time I was the 92-pound cashier who had the 280-pound bouncer, the late Terry Long, standing behind me. If someone came in and did not behave the way they were supposed to, I'd just point them out to him, and he would tap them on the shoulder, and that would be the end of that. But I also tutored the football players and the women's basketball players while I was at ECU. So sports has always been a part of my life. I was a cheerleader in high school. So I love sports, have always loved sports. I went to Carolina to get my master's in social work, not knowing that, you know, there. I wish I had known about sports social work and the need for clinicians to support athletes back in 89 when I got my master's degree, because I would have been doing this my whole career. That's just how much I love it. But I had an opportunity to work for United Way for 10 years. Again, an opportunity for Eric Montross, who was at UNC at the time, to do a United Way video for us. United Way is very connected to the NFL. So, again, I'm still having these opportunities to be involved with athletes. But what sparked it for me was Super Bowl 43. It was February 1st. 2009, Larry Fitzgerald was doing an interview. His father, of course, was going to be one of the speakers, and Larry told the story of his mother being ill, dying of cancer, and he received a call saying, "You need to come home," and he decided to stay for practice. And when he got home, his mother was unconscious, and she never regained consciousness. I was sitting in my ECU beanbag ready for the Super Bowl, but I pointed at the TV and I said, "He's going to need a therapist," not because of anything other than sometimes we have regrets. When we make one choice over another and things don't turn out the way we would like, we have regrets. So I don't know if Larry's ever talked to anyone, but Larry was my inspiration to move forward with getting a sports counseling certificate from CalU in Pennsylvania, and then really getting involved with the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports. Now I serve current, former professional athletes, collegiate athletes, started my internship at North Carolina Central University with first-year freshmen and transfer student athletes in the summer. I've been connected ever since, and I love, love, love working with athletes. So this is what I'll do. I say this is my swan song. I will be serving athletes until I can't anymore.
Wow. Wow. So for those many people listening to the podcast for a career advice and education about opportunities, what is the difference between a therapy of a from a sports sociology person and a sports psychology person?
So the difference is, however, I'll start with the difference, but then also add that social workers, and it is social work and not sociology.
Okay.
Yeah. Social workers really focus on the issues that also affect performance. if I'm stressed about my family, if I'm stressed about my classes, if I'm stressed about or concerned, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, mm-hmm. any of those things, that's what social workers help the athletes deal with. Performance is different, and that's usually what sports psychologists do. They focus on performance, but sports social workers can do it as well. And I've talked to many an athlete who has said to me, when I start asking information about their sport, their response is, I got that. I need help with this. I need help managing my relationship with my mother, or mm-hmm. I need help navigating these relationships on campus, you know, or I need help with the challenges that I'm going through with my spouse about mm-hmm. child custody and being able to visit with my children. And so that's a different conversation. And their mm-hmm. position is, I can perform if I don't have these other things in the back of my mind that are creating havoc and causing anxiety and depression for me. So that's the difference with what we do. And a lot of the athletes, of course, the African-American ones, are really stressed out over this whole pandemic, along with the racial injustice that they are witnessing mm-hmm. every day. And so that's been another area that we've had to address with them.
Yeah. And right before I introduced you, I spoke about my chapter. And my whole point for writing it was to assist people and administration to embrace counseling. And so I talk about all the things that were happening. However, it caught up with me. I hit a brick wall, literally and figuratively. And I want to make sure that the stigma of counseling for administrators does not go unnoticed, because when you're serving others, you must definitely make sure that you are healthy in mind, body, and soul yourself. And depression looks different for a high achiever than someone that we are accustomed to. That means that looks like staying extremely busy, and because we are actually addicted to success, and so we, like, for me, just be honest, domestic cooking and cleaning and whatnot is not my thing, and so I would make sure that I was not home, so I wouldn't have to face those things. And that's when I was married and when I wasn't married. And to be very, very frank, you're exactly right. You know, we have to deal with our regrets and don't know that. And I wanted, let me ask you, have you seen any of Last Chance U?
I started trying to watch it, and I was struggling with it. Mm-hmm. I love sports. I've been looking at, I think it's American Hero. That's the one that I was looking at. But I tried to look at Last Chance U. Several of my student athletes at North Carolina Central were like, Miss D, you need to look at Last Chance U. Mm-hmm. So I tried to watch it, but I like American Hero better. That's,
well,
just me.
I don't like the show. Don't get me. I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it's just so disturbing. But from, I would say, a look at it from a standpoint, if you were trying to get an administrator to understand what it is that their people are experiencing, you can refer to, hey, because it's not character. This is like a reality show. I thought first,
yeah, that's
when I first
my
saw
understanding.
It,
mm-hmm.
And when I first saw
my
it,
understanding
I thought
is it's a reality show.
And then, look, it's a reality show, but they call it a documentary. I said, this is not a documentary. We're looking at this coach cursing and demeaning these kids continuously. This is not a documentary, because we're not learning. Documentary is you're trying to teach something. I mean, we are learning that this is not the way. But unfortunately, which is true, he wins, and he's not changing. But you see him struggling. You see him struggling. Being directing without, he has no self-control. Let's put it like that. Because, you know, in my mind, I know you're also a minister. And so it went straight down to what I've been studying in my devotion. That's exactly right. He has no self-control.
Yes,
so,
and that's one of the fruit of the Spirit.
That's
and
right.
I tell all my clients, if you can be good, kind, gentle, and control yourself, you will live out the other five fruits. So you will end up living out all nine. But one of them is self-control, and we have to be able to say no to ourselves. Mm. One of the things that I wanted to mention, and you may not have been aware of this, but we did have a summit with the NCAA to talk about diverse athlete mental health needs. We did that August 10th and 11th for 2 days. And so that was really an opportunity for us to develop with several other groups, the Association for Applied Sports Psychology, the American Psychological Association, Society for Sport, Exercise, and Performance Psychology, and the Alliance of Social Workers in Sport. So we put together a statement with for clinical counseling, Sports Psychology Association, saying we really think there are certain things that administration needs to make sure they provide for the athletes. And the other thing we talked about was the importance of the administrators getting the training they need as well. And I have told many a coach, they wonder, who is Miss D? But I will be out there saying, do you have to curse at these children like this? Do you have to? When I'm at a football game and I hear people yelling, he's sorry, he's whatever, I stand up and look over my shoulder. That is someone's child. That is an 18 or 19-year-old that you are saying these negative things about. Adults need to do better. And one of the things that we talked about is a pledge for fans. If you're going to come to the game, you can't be saying any and every kind of thing about these athletes. They are people, too. And, you know, so we did come up with things that we wanted the coaches to consider, that we want administrators to consider about what athletes need, how you communicate with them, that you take away the stigma about getting help when you need it. And so now I receive coaches, calls from athletic directors or coaches or whoever saying, you know, my athlete needs some help. And I appreciate that they are starting to recognize that, yes, this yelling and cursing and calling them names and belittling them and all of that is not going to work, and you need to stop.
So where do our listeners get these resources from?
Well, it just so happens, like I said, that there is the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports. We've also now established a relationship, and they're probably going to get me. I'm working on my application right now. But the United States Olympics and Paralympics, they are recruiting clinicians. So I'm one of the clinicians that they have approved. The NFLPA is recruiting clinicians. The NBPA is recruiting clinicians. So they are all recognizing, you know, and we're getting licensed in other states. I'm getting licensed in Florida along with being licensed in North Carolina. I'm also licensed in Massachusetts. But to have clinicians available. The other thing is telehealth. There was this whole thing about telehealth, but they're starting to realize, hey, that's easier. They're not concerned about being seen walking into someone's office when we can see them face-to-face via telehealth. They just want to get their needs met. And I wish we are still trying to get rid of the stigma. Santi Das is one of the people who has come up with the slogan, Silence the Shame. That's the name of her organization. And she was actually participating in the summit with me, and I was texting her in the chat saying, I'm so happy to see you, and I have your card, and I'm giving your information to everybody. But really trying to make – being healthy a part of what we do, and particularly in the African-American community, the thing that I remind people is in the scriptures, exhortation. That's one of the spiritual gifts that God has given his people, and that's the gift of guidance and wise counsel. So when people ask me, that's what I say. That's my gift, exhortation, guidance, and wise counsel to help you navigate life, to get to where you need to be, and to get there whole and healthy.
Now, see, this is what I tell people all the time. You know, where there's a crisis, there's an opportunity. And we would not be embracing telehealth if we had not had COVID-19 from the masses. And so this now becomes a norm, and that means that we can serve more people. Dr. Angela Burtis is one of the first clinicians from the psychology side that I witnessed, and Dr. Stephanie Coakley, them serving individuals, and they said they were doing a Zoom call and whatnot. That was my introduction, and I was like, oh, you know, if they do this, you know, again, my whole piece is administrators, because I'm like, if we can knock out the stigma for you, then you can help your athletes, because you can say, hey, you know, this nonchalant, I'm going to see my counselor. I'll be back tomorrow. Then they'll be like, oh, Coach so-and-so, or Miss D goes to counseling. Then that means, and then they have a safe place to start the conversation about themselves. And I just think it's so important. Two questions.
And it is important. And I tell my students, and I tell other clinicians, if you don't believe in what you do for a living, you shouldn't be doing it. So if you think you're above seeing a therapist, you shouldn't be one, because I believe in my profession. And when I need help, I recognize I better go see somebody. And I don't have a problem with it. I'm part of an accountability group of four clinicians. We meet once a month. We talk about self-care. We talk about whatever we need to talk about. And that's important. And all of us have been to therapy at one time or another. And some are in therapy right now. We do what we have to do.
So let's talk about the education that's needed to be a clinician.
So you do have to have a master's degree. It needs to be in counseling, of course, as a social worker, because I believe we can do so much more with the training. We are taught about advocacy. We are taught about mental illness. We are taught about addictions. We are taught about research. We are taught so many different ways to interact on behalf of individuals, including knowing what resources are available. So, you know, I told someone, and she was surprised. She's a psychologist, but I said to her, I had two clients. They weren't athletes, but I had two clients, one who had a heart attack, one who lost her job. There's a resource in the community that paid their rent, their mortgage, because the resource is to keep people from losing their homes. So their mortgage was paid for 18 months while one was recovering and the other was finding a job. And she said, what? I've never heard of that. Well, that's what social workers do. So when we have athletes whose family might have some kind of financial crisis or whatever, then we can help say, here are some resources available. Then they're not as concerned. If I know my mother's mortgage is going to be paid while she's home recovering from surgery, then I won't think I need to quit school to go get a job and start working to add to the home. So that's what I like about social work, is that we really are aware of the resources in the community, which is a little different from psychology and even professional counseling. But we have a sports social work certificate program through the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports, which is now being recognized by the NCAA. It's approved by our National Association of Social Workers. People get a certificate and 53 CEUs, once they complete that program. And so it includes an internship. It includes fund development. It includes athlete development. It includes the clinical portion. It includes all of those pieces that will cover an athlete from youth sports up to professional sports and even life after sport. So the Association of Applied Psychology also has a performance certificate. So you could also get that, or you could get that instead. But again, in my opinion, it's not as rich as social work. So there are opportunities for people to get the training. And then there are some universities. As I said, I got a sports counseling certificate from Cal U. UC Berkeley is looking at starting a program. NC State has at least one class. I don't know how much they're going to build upon it, but more and more universities are looking at how can we blend social work, recreation, you know, sports management, how can we blend this together so when a person graduates, they have all the skills they need to start serving the athlete population.
Well, I did teach psychosociology of sport at Hampton University. And
okay, there you go.
Yes, I immensely loved it. And I would use like the TV show All American. And
mm-hmm.
they loved that. Yeah, they loved it. And then we would talk about it. And then, and you know you've reached them when you do the final projects. And I had a couple of football players. And I never talked about it in class, but they talked about, which just happened, the number of former professional football players who end up in the office. Not necessarily
mm-hmm.
on a, you know, like player development, those kind of things. We're talking about the man, you know, and so we just had that happen with the Washington football team. And I was like, so they brought it to my awareness. So when I saw the announcement, I saw the significance of it. And, and that's what we want to do is to put the light bulb on, you know, just put a new light bulb in it to go like, oh, now we are seeing more than what we saw before. And
mm-hmm.
I think this time it is that. So I got one more question before I go to break. You mentioned that you had a summit with the NCAA.
Yes.
Is there a replay of that anywhere?
I don't know that they recorded it that way, but what I do know is with each day we were responsible for making recommendations. And so, you know, I'm looking through my notebook right now because, you know, I was taking a lot of notes about some of the things that we thought would be meaningful. And our goal was to come up with things that would be helpful. So not just naming things, but also putting things in actionable. We want
mm-hmm.
to be able to say we accomplished something, not just say, okay, well, we recommended that, and that's a good idea. But, you know, so some of the things that we recommended was education, to talk about systemic bias and racism
mm-hmm.
and what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we admitted that we were preaching to the choir, those of us who were present, but then
mm-hmm.
how can the administrators, again, as you mentioned, help to pass this on and have this expectation of all the other athletes. For example, you know, some of the athletes talked about how I play with you on the team, and then after we win or whatever, then you dismiss me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm nobody, but mm-hmm. when we were on the court or on the field, I was okay, and now you want to say these negative things about my race, about me. And I was really kind of surprised to hear that because as a cheerleader, you know, back in the day when I was a cheerleader, it was half and half. It's 7 whites, 7 blacks, and it seemed like we all loved each other. They never said anything negative to me. or said anything about my race or anything disparaging, but several athletes were involved, and they talked about that. So they have different needs. They need a healthy place to talk about that, and there needs to be an expectation of leadership that you are going to be educated yourself first, but then you're also going to educate your players and tell them what you are not going to allow. And that includes the LGBTQIA+, you know, but you're not going to continue to allow players to treat each other in these kinds of ways.
Well, I'm going to take a short break because I'm about to ask another question, and then I'll probably miss my commercial time. So let us take a really a short break here in the chat in the garden. When we return, we continue talking with Anita.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
Now more than ever before, our country is having real, honest conversations about race. My passion and experience in this area is why leaders of organizations come to me when they're looking for support around the issue of diversity and inclusion. I am Dr. Sharice Janae Nelson, and I'm committed to ending racial bias, one conversation at a time. Visit me at knockoutbias.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Let's face it, the AD position is an executive position, a member of the president's administrative team, the cabinet. The department deserves the same level of leadership, knowledge, talent, experience, and professionalism as any top official on campus. Presidents are looking for AD leadership who know how to build a success culture. Recognizing this changing landscape in athletics, join me at successcultureconsultantcoach.com for info on my next course on building a success culture.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host,
Monique.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so, you know, you just heard him say, like, I love to provide resources. So, and you said one of the recommendations was education. What type of books or I know if you're not a member, of your organization? How can we still learn from your organization? And what books are you? Because I'm big on books, and let me read about it and get an understanding and that kind of good stuff.
So I one of my favorite books is Counseling Collegiate Athletes. I was looking to see if I have it here. I don't know if I grabbed it and brought it upstairs, but that's one of my favorites. Then, of course, there are others that focus on serving the athlete population. Ironically, when I took the certificate program, and I still think it's a reasonable document, even though it is probably close to 1,000 pages, but it was one of the documents that we had to use for the sports counseling certificate program at CalU.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a couple of our members, Dr. Matt Moore and Dr. Ginger Gummit, wrote a book on sports social work, and several of the social work departments are using that resource as the book that they are using to do training.
What's the name of that?
That's the name of it, Sports Social Work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Matt Moore and Ginger Gummit are the authors, and so that's one that's available. And so I have a combination of different books. I wish I had been thinking about that, because I would have pulled them all out and had the names ready for you. But I can certainly provide that information at another time.
I'll post it in the group.
Okay, that'll be perfect. I will definitely do that, because that's important for people to understand. There's another one on grief and loss, and that's particularly when athletes have an injury. The one that I think about, and I love him, is Malcolm Lemons, when he told the story of playing around with some of his schoolmates in high school and ended up getting a head injury, and because of that could not play in college or professionally. You know, just those, how that can impact everything that you wouldn't even think about, but that head injury caused him not to be able to play. Another book that I think
Garrod?
Is really important. Yes.
That's Garrod, not Lemons, not Malcolm Lemons.
I thought,
that's Garrod.
Who was it?
Garrod. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know it was
Gilliard,
one of them.
Gilliard.
That's him.
Yeah.
And I know it was one of them.
Yeah,
but I remember going back to read his story, and I just thought, oh, my God. I can't even imagine what that was like. But, yeah, I remember when I read his story, then I went back and read more about him, and I was just heartbroken for him. But that happens, you know. Athletes can be playing around, riding on ATVs, and, you know, so understanding how to address that loss with them and not say something ridiculous like, okay, well, that's over, move on. Because they'll walk away and they'll never come back. They need for us to understand.
He ended up going to Bowie State. And now he works for the NFL Players Association. Yeah, he spoke to my class last year. And I'm curious, because you keep saying you read it. And I told him he needs to write a book. So I'm
he does.
Curious.
I read the article. I read the news story.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He needs to write a book. I have put him in contact with some of my author friends. I said, if anything, you can record yourself, because that right there, that's powerful. That's powerful.
Well, thanks for getting the name right. I knew it was one of them, because I kind of followed them, but I couldn't remember which one it was. I just know
I
that. Yes.
So the certifications, can a lay person pay and get these and get certified, or do you have to have had your master's in counseling in order to take to get certified with, like, CalU or what was the other one that you mentioned?
Well, you do need to have a master's to get the certificates, the one that we have in social work. It doesn't have to be a master's in social work, but it does need to be a master's degree. but it does not have to be in social work, because some people, as I said, will do the clinical part. Some people may do more of the athlete development part. So there are ways. Some may do the fundraising piece. You know, they want to work as an alumni for a football team or a university or even one of the professional teams and, you know, have that relationship with former players, et cetera. So there are opportunities. There are so many opportunities. But what I will say that I think is critical is you need the training. Do not think that you can just show up because you have a license and you've been practicing for 10 years that you know what an athlete needs. You really need to do your homework. I was during Mental Health Month in May, I was working with a group of professional athletes with Athletes for Hope in Texas, and one of the athletes admitted, she said, I decided I was going to get a therapist who didn't know anything about sports. She said, and I mentioned something to her, and when she told me what I needed to do, I had to remember, oh, she doesn't know anything about working with athletes. And we all started laughing, and she said, you know, I intentionally wanted to choose someone who didn't know anything about sports, and so I had to remember, she doesn't know anything about sports, otherwise she wouldn't have said to me, well, what you need to do is whatever it was, you know. So when you tell an athlete, oh, well, if you're not enjoying your sport anymore, just quit, they won't come back to see you.
Well, I'm so glad you came by to see us today inside of Chatting the Garden. It has been wonderful. Thank you so much. And I look forward to those resources that I can post inside the garden.
Yes, I will definitely send those to you. And thank you so much for asking me to come and speak. As I said, for those people who are interested, we have a website, www.aswis.org. You can go there. You can join. You can participate in our certificate program. It is a cost. It's about $3,000, but that's cheaper than what I pay going to CalU, and it's still relevant for the USOPC and for colleges and universities and the NCAA and the NBPA, the NFLPA. As long as you have some kind of training, then they will consider you potentially to serve the athletes that they are responsible for.
Great information. Thank you, and thank you to my engineer, Jama Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.
Bye-bye.